Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Give a mighty clap offering unto the Lord. Amen. We are excited to be in the house of the Lord and to thank God for what He's doing in our lives as a church. God is taking us somewhere. Amen. Without wasting much time, I want to receive to the podium our pastor, Pastor Bless, as he brings us the word of God.
Hallelujah. As the custom is, we want to take our uncle scriptures. We want to read Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let's continue. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. They didn't call the entire congregation. They called the disciples. So that, remember, there were 120 disciples on the day of the baptism, right? The Holy Ghost baptism. So when the entire, because remember that the church became 3,000 on the first day of evangelism. And by the time we got here, there was another 5,000 that added to the church. So the church was growing and it was multiplying. And there was agitation. It is normal. In every human institution, there are going to be instances where people will not be happy because certain things do not favor them. Are you listening to me? So the leadership of the church, that is the disciples and the apostles, had a council meeting. So the apostles were addressing the disciples now. The rest of the 120 said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they told the disciples that per the position we stand right now, it is not advisable that we forsake our core duty of serving you the word of God that are not doing administrative work. That does not mean that administrative work is not relevant in the church. No. It is the position of these people, the work they are doing. They already had a primary responsibility in the church. Peter and the other 12 disciples. I hope you are following. So they cannot forsake their primary responsibility to take up another responsibility. The first thing first. So some people must take that up as their primary responsibility. It's like you are asking me to For instance, this is not my primary responsibility. But since you don't have anybody to take over, I have to be doing it. Do you really get it? It's not my primary responsibility to do projection. My job is what? Do what I'm doing now. Feed you. Amen. Do you want to join me? So I said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Let's continue. The last verse. But we will give ourselves continually towards prayer and the ministry of the word. Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. The key word is in the verse 4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the word, the ministry of the word. Exodus 37. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Somebody say every morning. Every morning. So there are certain things that are habitual. And this is one of them. Burning of what? Incense. Follow me today because we are going somewhere today. When he dressed the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. Hallelujah. Last reading, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We are reading throughout to the verse 3. First Timothy chapter 2. It's our custom that we read our anchor scriptures. The anchor scripture stands for the key scriptures to which our point of discussion will be upon. So follow. If you get this right, you get what I'm going to talk about. Amen. I exhort therefore that first of all, and I've thought about the concept of first of all. Do you remember that the value system of the believer? The first things. The most important things. So it's a first of all. What? Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. In fact, these prayers here is legal engagement. Everything here is a prayer. But this prayer here, we are talking about courtroom prayers. When you go to deal with legal matters. Hallelujah. And what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. Continue. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and what? Honesty. Let's go on. For this is what? Good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So if you don't know the things that God likes, things that are acceptable before the Lord, today I've shown you one. What is it? First of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men. When you are doing that, you are doing something that's acceptable before the Lord. Do you get it? You want to do things that God will accept. This is one of them. Hallelujah. So we are still on our sub-series, Men Ought to Pray. Our main series is what? Teach us to pray. We are looking at Men Ought to Pray. And today we are going to talk about living the priesthood life. Why men ought to pray is because it is the way we can be able to live the priesthood life. Hallelujah. Amen. In the beginning, I started to explain that the word men ought to pray was a hidden concept behind the mystery of prayer, one of the mysteries of the kingdom. And if you were in church last 2 weeks and last 3 weeks, you would agree that I spoke about it, that whenever Jesus wanted to talk about something that is about the kingdom, he puts them into what? Mystery. And we know that mystery are what? Hidden things. The word mystery means what? Hidden. Not hidden from you, but hidden for you. So one of the things that Jesus spoke about as a mystery was prayer. In the book of Luke chapter 18, said he spake a parable in this manner, that the presence of the kingdom is what we call mystery. In Paul's teaching, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, if the princes of this world had known these mysteries, and the mystery was talking about us, that the death of Christ could be a reason where salvation would have come, they wouldn't have killed us, Jesus. But the Bible says it is hidden for you. And he continues to say, eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for his people. That's how powerful mysteries are. And one of the concepts of the mystery is what? Prayer. And we find out that prayer, as though a normal thing we do in the church, it is required that you are taught. Because the disciples went to Jesus and told him to teach them to what? To pray. So to be very effective in prayer, you need to be taught. So the whole of this year, we are going to take full lessons on prayer to make it practical and effective in our life. Hallelujah. So the first sub-series we are taking under the concept of prayer, teach us to pray, is men ought to pray. Why did Jesus say that men ought to pray? Last 3 weeks, I said that it is a big deal, right? And last 2 weeks, I said that it is by that that intimacy and authority is guaranteed. So we stood on a team called what? Connecting to socks, remaining in what? Relationship and what? Effective in what? In purpose. Turning. Okay. Odia could do it before. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, we want to look at living the priesthood life as a reason for which men ought to pray. First of all, I want to let you know that priesthood is a very important topic that every believer must have full grasp of it. In fact, one of the first lessons that everybody must be taught and one of the fundamental knowledge and principles that every believer must have, must know, and must live by is priesthood. Why? Because our identity is priesthood. We are not called Christians. That's not how God called us. You don't know. Today I'm going to prove it to you. Even though I've mentioned this before, I'm going to say it again. Our real identity as God sees us or as God calls us is not Christian. Christian is an alias. In the book of Acts, at the church of in the city of Antioch, when they were looking for a way to identify the people who are believers, are you listening to me? They call them Christ-like, which is the word what? Christian. That was not the name God gave us. Do you know our name? Okay. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Let us know our name. Who you are. How? This is how God sees you. When you come born again, this is who God knows you are. And he had made us what? Kings and what? Priests unto God and his Father. What have you been made? Christian? Is it Christian? What is the word about there? King and what? Priest. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 8. Are you following? The reason why most of us are not living up to expectation or not be able to live to fullness of what is potentially in us is because the orientation from the beginning is wrong. Hallelujah. But ye are a chosen generation, a what? A royal priesthood, and a what? An holy. Who was he talking to? The church. So today, this is who God knows you are. Anytime you come before God, God is seeing a king priest, a royal priest. And you see, there is total relation between Revelation 1:6 and this one, because royalty is connected to kinship, two of us. So when we say you are a royal priest, we are talking about a king priest. Therefore, if that is who you are, then you have to know about yourself. Do you know why you studied history from primary all the way to GHS? A little of history and everything. As a Ghanaian, you did culture, right? Didn't you? One of the things that got me annoying in UCC was African studies. No, I'm Scott. Now I'm the trailing crop for African studies. And we have to study about Ghana and Africa. I did that for one full semester. Why? Because it is very important you know yourself. Are you with me? Are you with me? So even in the human knowledge, we believe that self-knowledge, identity is very important. But most of us, our orientation has been very wrong. In the sense that we don't know who we are when we become born again. Yesterday, I was coming with my brother and we were talking about something very, very funny. And he was telling me that he now come across people who have been in church for 10 years, 15 years, and ask them who is a born again Christian. They don't know. All they know is that, oh, say they want my Jesus in here. Oh, sorry. Who do my Jesus on your day? And I don't know how to find you. Do you really get it? So people, all that they know is that, oh, I've accepted Jesus. The next thing is I have to be in church. That is all. So they don't know how to even appropriate that thing that has happened to them. They don't know who they are. They don't know how to appropriate it. They don't know how to live it. Hello? Have you ever seen somebody who is, excuse my language, who is not well educated using an iPhone before? Hey, Mombo say, Krafuno for fashion. The best they can do is to picture crunch when we be a chairman. But people are using this kind of technology to do a lot of stuff. Why will you buy a very expensive phone, and all you can do with it is even some of them phone call. My mom has warned me not to buy a screen touch for her because she can't use it. She doesn't know how to what use it, and she's not ready to learn how to what use it. Are you with me? So many believers are born again and they don't know the orientation they have. So today I'm going to teach you that priesthood is part of, it's not part, it is you. You are a priest. The moment you get born again, you are a priest. I'm going to teach you what priesthood is and why you ought to pray. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Therefore, this is the definition I gave priesthood. Listen to it very carefully. I define priesthood as any lifestyle that creates a portal and establish an altar within a specific jurisdiction for a spirit to operate. This is my own definition. I'm going to explain. Again, priesthood as any lifestyle. Listen, I didn't say it's a lifestyle. Huh? That creates a portal and establish an altar within a specific jurisdiction for a spirit to operate. Hence, there cannot be a successful operation of a spirit in any time realm without a priest, because priests are people who portals and altars are effective and conducive for spirit. Let me explain this. When we talk of priest, do you know a portal? I'm going to talk about a portal and what an altar is. And you understand this thing is a very serious matter. When there is a lifestyle that creates room for spirits to be very effective on earth, that lifestyle is a priesthood. When you go to your hometown, there is a particular man be there. All that he does is that when he wakes up, there is a place he has to attend to. That is his vocation. Are you there? And whenever he goes to that place, there are certain things he will do. And when those things are done, whether you like it or not, spirits are provoked and invoked to act. Some of them call themselves Ebu Champagne. And if there is a matter in the family or in the town, they have to come to be able, for that matter to be dealt with, they have to come and pour libation or come to practice what they do in their secret place before that matter can be solved. You have been watching most of Ejako movies, Lewin. You've been seeing those things, right? Or mine come for Yakonohaba. It's a life they live. It's not just anything. That's why you cannot do it anything. It will not work. If you not go and try, it will not work. You don't live that life. It's a calling. That is why you can see, yes, it's a calling. That is why you can see that some people, a friend said, Inshoba, or come. Are you with that? Some people can be just hijacked. So, priesthood is a lifestyle. And this lifestyle creates portal and also establish altars for spirit to operate in on earth. Because spirits have no right to operate here unless they have permission. And it is priests who give them permission. Nobody, it's not everyone can give. No, it's priesthood. And for that matter, every individual here, you are living a life of a priesthood which can invite a certain spirit. That's why some people's lives that they have invited the spirit of lust. When they come around you, because of their continuous life that they are living, they have become altars that whoever comes around them will find themselves in that life. Have you noticed those kind of people? There are people, they are into alcoholism, especially when you go to school. I was fortunate to be in a male hall, Casford. I'm a Casfordian. There were people who came to campus innocent. By the time we realized, they had an encounter with a priesthood in the hall. And that priesthood, they teach you how to walk naked in the name of Christ. And by the time we realized, in level 100, going to level 200, I saw innocent people I entered the hall with who I never expected can now walk naked, or in the name of Father Casford, Mother Casford. Do you know how they got there? Because there were people there who were living a lifestyle that created a portal and an altar, says that when you come there, because of that activeness of lifestyle that was taking place in the hall, spirits were able to find people that can serve their interests. I pray for you. Is it, you may, I don't know the kind of life you are living, but which kind of priest are you? Ah, Vadilamasuya. You know that, you see, there are some, that's why you have to be very careful, because just one person that enters into your life can turn things around because of priesthood. Because of priesthood. Somebody just came and he became a friend of you. You don't know the kind of priesthood he was practicing. He comes into your life and you find that things have turned around. You used to be very brilliant. When he entered into your life, things have changed. Priesthood. The person is able to service an altar and a porter, and it makes it effective to work. See, let's read something here. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. And it came to pass that when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Continue. Verse 11. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Watch this. God wanted to fill the house. This was when Solomon was done building the temple. Are you following? Beautiful temple. Magnificent temple. But it was not the soldiers who entered to perform. For God to come now and fill that temple and the glory of God to take over that jurisdiction, it was priests. And when the priests entered and they fulfilled their duties, their lifestyle, they went to practice the thing they do practice all the time in that temple. And they, by the time they were done, they created a portal and established an altar. And that portal attracted a divine being. And the divine being couldn't hold because he saw something that is a legitimate or certificate to operate. And he came down. I pray, if there's any priesthood that has sustained an altar, a portal over your life, that in your family, certain things are patterns of the life, I pray in the name of Jesus, may there be another priesthood. May there be another priesthood. There was a time that Moses came before Pharaoh as a priest of God, who had encountered God and has established an altar. The Bible said when he let down his rod, it became what? A snake. And the priests of Pharaoh did the same thing. But the Bible said the rod of Moses swallowed. I pray that your priesthood will swallow any demonic priesthood that comes around your life. So I am telling you that when you are born again, you are a priest. When you are not born again, you are a priest. So it depends on who you are, whose altar and porter you are providing services to. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Priesthood is a very important thing that when a nation, look at what God, the Bible spoke about a nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 3. Let's read. Let's read something there. Without a priest, without priesthood, look at how a nation was described. Now, for a long season, listen to me, he said, for what? A long season, Israel had been without the true God. Why? And without a teaching priest and without law. Watch where the priest is. See, be very careful with arrangements in the Bible. Where was the priest? In between the law and the true God. Wherever there are no priests, there are no divine encounters. Israel was without the true God because there was no teaching priest. And it became a lawless place because there was no priest. Until Ezra rose up. Priesthood is a very, very important topic. That's when you find a nation that become lawless, check whether they are raising priests. When I'm talking about priests, don't be thinking of the Catholic. That is a title. I'm talking of the life we live. Hallelujah. We can't priest. No, they are not the ones. I'm talking about people who understand the lifestyle that is able to establish. So the Bible said, after a long season, a whole nation called by the name of God had no true God actively in their midst. Because nobody was able to minister to the altars and make sustain the altars for divine being to release in among them. I pray. Hey, it is dangerous. I don't have a priest in your life. It's dangerous. You see, the whole of your life, you have no true God acting on your behalf. and there are no laws operating within. See, when people are not living by principles, they are lawless. Check whether they had a priest. Check a church. When you go to a church where they are so loose, they are living a loose life, check priesthood. There cannot be a priest and you'll be lawless, because they will teach you the law. You live by the laws. Hallelujah. So what is an altar? I'm reading the definition for you. Okay. An altar is any system. I'm not teaching about priesthood. I'm just connecting it to priesthood. I want to teach about priesthood. So, seriously. What is an altar? An altar is any system that provides legal residence for spirits to operate on earth, as though they are in their very place of abode. That's what an altar is. When we say there's an altar here, what we mean is that there is a system in place here, sometimes a physical contact. That is when it becomes a portal. But there's a system in place here that a spirit can leave their abode and come here and still feel like they're in their abode. It's called an altar. So, a spirit underwater can leave its place of residence in the water where they are very conducive, right? Do you get it? And come to a place like this, and somebody has created a system and can be able to what? Host that spirit perfectly. So the Bible said Jesus met a madman, at the city of Gadarite, in what? The cemetery. And spirits were negotiating with Jesus. In fact, they raised a concern legally that you have no right to cast that out. You know why? Because that man provided an altar for you. So altars can be human beings. We are living all this. So a system, it can be just, if you create a system, that is why you see, what you want God to come down into your affairs, you begin to pray. Take some worship song, begin to do something. Then you see that you are creating an enabling system. Those days, they used to say that when a guy wants to have his way, Celine Dion is the helper. Hallelujah. Do I have witness in the house? You are acting as if you are a saint. My brother, it is by grace, not by works. The bad boys, they know this very well. Get your worst life, Celine Dion, and they start playing in the room, and you come to sit there. Then they get one very powerful, those days, Nigerian, whatever, those love movies that you are watching. I tell you, no matter how strong you are, that altar will be effective on you. That altar will work. The system will make it very conducive to be exposed to touching. That's an altar. So humans can be altars. Do you know, that's why you have very careful of songs you listen to, because their person can be an altar, a conducive system by which spirit can leave their place of abode, live in them, or be there and operate. See, I've met people who, when they are on their own, they are like, they are of themselves. They are very normal. When something comes, I remember one time he said something that was crazy. What is the name of that spirit? Is it Sasha or Shasha? What is it? How did she call it? Shasha Fieshwa. She's a shy person. But when she activates the altar and that spirit comes, what she will do on stage, it is not there. That's an altar. She's an altar. So you see, when you go to the fetish first, it is not there. Who then knows? They are borders. They are not. The priest is the altar. Wherever he goes, the spirits are there. It is not in the COVID. He carries the spirit. So he just did a snap at anywhere. And then tell them, okay, we can operate here because I'm here. That's what I have to break. I don't know. I'll teach priesthood. I'll teach. Some things God has opened my eyes to. That's why I'm very careful, friends. Priesthood has been an amazing system that has seen spirit being very effective. I'm not speaking about portal. Let me talk about portal. Portals are strong physical locations where the activities of spirit can easily be accessed. Give me Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. What we talk of a portal, They are mostly physical locations where the compared to other places. And we will see it in scriptures that there were places that certain people went and there was an encounter because of that place being a portal. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain, place. That is certain. And tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took off the stone of the place and put them for his what, pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon it, and on top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending. And if you read backwards, you find out that his grandfather Abraham, it was the same place he got to, that certain place, which is called Bethel. The same place, this place that we call certain, later it became what? Bethel. It was the same place that the grandfather encountered God, Abraham. And that was the same place the grandfather built an altar. That Bethel, he built an altar there. So the place became a portal because somebody was operating over there. So you can go to certain towns, right? You can go to certain places. Let me help you. Do you know that? I can say this. When you go to Legon, University of Ghana, Legon, there's a particular hall. It is believed by all people that if you want to practice Ijama, find yourself there. It will work. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you know? Ask them to tell me. I went there. I think we're on campus when I came that time, and I went there. I came back to sleep with my brother. Please, the atmosphere was very conducive, and my anointing couldn't stop it. I left, and I told my friend that, so it is this one. I said, so how are you able to survive? Because the portal, and unfortunately, it was their whole week. God. In fact, I needed, and God has to detoxify me, because the damage control was serious, the things I saw. Free show. In fact, I was told that during their whole week celebration, you can get free sex. Okay. So an innocent person can walk there into that place, even though she's innocent. By the time, you know why many people go to university and then they turn out to become a different thing? Because they walk into all this and all this. And they don't know how, by the time they realize. So, all these are very powerful. And in fact, when they are there, they make things very effective for spirit. And they can cause a change in the act of a spirit. Let's look at a first man who activated the life of priesthood. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Noah was the first man. Though he was not called a priest, he did something that was a priesthood. And let's see what happened. Did it. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Let's read. And Noah did what? Build what? An altar unto the Lord. And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt what? Offerings on the altar. Let's see what the Spirit is. Let's see a response in verse 21. Let's go. And the Lord smelled. So you see what altars do? He bent. Somebody smelled it. Sweet savor. So this is what altars do. Sweet savor. The burnt offerings. That's why incense are burnt. You hear them? Altars. Incense. Are burnt offerings. And the Lord said in his heart. So the thing got to God that in his heart started talking. That's how powerful a priest was able to reach God. Went through God's mind and got to his heart, his innermost part. I will not again curse Jesus. The ground and more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil too. Even though God has wiped out every man from the earth, God says that the imaginations of man's heart is still the same, that don't change. But because an altar has been raised, I will never curse the enemy. Neither would I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Continue to the last verse. While the earth remaineth, seed time. a man understood the word of God. Built an altar, made the right sacrifice. How did Noah know clean and unclean animals? The guy had skills in priesthood, that he did exactly what needed to be done, and then the thing got God. The thing hit God so strong, and God said, no. For this thing that Noah has done, I will, no matter the imaginations, the evil that men will do, I will not destroy the earth again. And as long as this earth remains, I will provide these 7 seasons. Do you know that one man, maybe 200 years ago, was able to locate the right altar to do, and that your family is in this life now? Because Noah was able to sustain something that today we are enjoying. Is there no seed time? Are there no harvest time? Don't you have winter? Don't you have cold? How did it come about? A man and then the life of God. And by so doing, generations upon generations, over years, we are still. So you'll be joking with priesthood. When I'm talking about priesthood, that is why when you become born again, you must be mindful of your priesthood, because there could be a priest who have initiated priesthood and working in your life. If you don't become your own priest to turn things around, I pray for you. The orientation of the today's believer is so bad that we are paying heavy prices. Look at the number of years Noah did this. It has not changed. That's how powerful priesthood is. A lifestyle. That's how powerful it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Quickly. Now, if you study scriptures, there are 2 kinds of priesthood. I want to quickly go through that. I said, living the priesthood life, why men ought to pray. Are you following me? I'll come there. But I want to give you an orientation of priesthood, that you can understand why men ought to pray. And if I don't touch this area, I will not help you. The 2 kinds of priesthood in the Bible are the mediatorial priesthood or mediator, which is the Levitical priesthood, and then we have the direct access priesthood, which you call the Melchizedekal priesthood. These 2 kinds of priesthood also represent the 2 tabernacles in the Bible. The tabernacle of Moses and the tabernacle of what? David. So the question is, which one is God's ideal priesthood? Are you following me? Because you study scriptures, you see these 2 priesthoods. The Levitical priesthood after the order of what? Aaron. And the Melchizedekal priesthood after the order of what? Melchizedek. Which of them is God's ideal priesthood? Amos chapter 9 verse 11 to 12. Let's read. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? And in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of what? David. This is God speaking. That is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of the old. Let's move to the book of Acts. I want us to read quickly. Acts chapter 15 verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophet as it was written. Verse 16. After this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of what? So we found out that it was the tabernacle of David, which is the Melchizedekal order of priesthood, that God is God's ideal priesthood, the direct priesthood. I'm going to explain them. So how was the Levitical priesthood born if this was God's ideal priesthood? Because you find out that there were 2 models in scriptures, okay, that practiced these 2 priesthood. That is Abraham and then David. Abraham met Melchizedek, the king of Salem, right? And he paid tithe to him. And David also had a vision of what? Melchizedek, the high priest. And that, you see that the practice, you know David was a priest, right? Because he wore the ephod. You see that the practice of David's life was different, okay? So how did the Levitical priesthood came in? Actually, it was not God's intention, because the Melchizedekal priesthood is not a tribe priesthood. It doesn't belong to a particular tribe. It's everybody. That's why David was able to practice it, because he was not a priest by the Levitical order. He was a priest by the Melchizedekal order. Now I'm coming. The Levitical priesthood was initiated because man rejected God to become his priest. Let's read the book of Exodus chapter 19 verse 6. What was God's ideal priesthood? I'm coming. And ye shall be unto me what? A kingdom of what? Priests. And an holy what? Nation. Does it make sense? Does it ring bell in your ears? Do we see it somewhere? You saw it somewhere, right? These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of what? Israel. So on the mountain of Sinai, where God called Moses that he wants to meet the people of Israel for the first time, the instruction was that the reason I want to meet you and speak to you all is because I want you all to become my priest. The ability to what? Provide altars and create portals for me. And this, so that I'll have a kingdom of what? Priest. If you read continuously, you find out that when God appeared, the appearance of God was too much for them. So they told Moses, said, Moses, if this is how God wants to visit us and talk to us, please go alone. Because if he comes in the second time, I'm sure that we all die. We ask for this requirement, we can't meet it. So at that instant, they rejected the call of priesthood. God didn't give up on them. What actually introduced the Levitical priesthood was this: that when Moses went to the mountain of Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, you remember what happened? What Aaron did? You remember that what Aaron did? He built out a molten calf for them, and they began to worship that idol. So before Moses came down from the mountain, the first commandment was already what? Before even the questions were released, we have already filled in advance. Do you get it? So when Moses came down, all the tribes were involved except the Levite tribe. So Moses said, who is on the Lord's side should stand by me. It was only the Levite. So when the Levite took that decision and then smite the 3,000 people who were serving idols, God said, okay, since these people have separated themselves unto me, then I will take them. And that is how the Levite priest was born. Because they were able to stand between God and between what? Man. They stood in for God and between what? Man. To stop the anger of God. And a priest, one of the duties of the priest is to stand in the gap between God and man. It was Levite, the Levite tribe, who were able to do that. So the moment they met that requirement, God said, okay, since you have been able to do that, then I will call that tribe. But that was not God's order of what? Priesthood. The Levite priesthood caused a lot of problem. It had a lot of limitation. Because it is the Levite priesthood that has brought about the Mediatorial. Because if you want to come and see God, you have to see a Levite who is a priest. And he will go and burn sin offering for you, carry your prayers and... Are you there? Do you know we still practice that kind of priesthood in the church? See, the Levite priesthood was so important that cloak was a necessary item in priesthood, Levite priesthood. Atadiah title was very important. So the priest, there was an instruction of the kind of clothes they should sew for them. See, a priest, that's not what you are practicing now. Because there's no a mediator between you and God anymore. But you see, the people love to be bound by laws. So some of you, you will find out that there are some places the Levitical order of what? Priesthood is there. And if you look at the tabernacle I'm talking about, the tabernacle of David was the only tabernacle that had no divisions. But you know the tabernacle of Moses had divisions. Because Moses never had that encounter of Melchizedek. It was David. When David built the tabernacle, it was plain. The ark of God was there. You could go there. And do you know that 70 years without the ark, people were still going to the ark of the tabernacle of Moses to worship. So the Levitical priesthood is a religious priesthood. Activities. Do this and do that. This is the kind of priesthood that keep people babies in church. So if anything is wrong with you, you have to come to pastor. If pastor does not pray for you, to not work. Pastor has to prove of even what you eat. Pastor, everything, pastor. Everything, pastor. Why? That's the problem. But that's not the priesthood I'm talking about. That kind of priesthood cannot sustain you, because you have to be the priesthood after Melchizedek. I'm not here to talk about priesthood, but I just want to explain that concept to you. Now, where the matter is right now is what I'm about to talk about. Let me look at my chart. Okay. Why is prayer a necessity? Because it is a life of priesthood. Now, the duties of a priest, even in the Old Testament, was that priests ought to burn incense. We're going to read three scriptures quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. When you are called a priest, your number one duty is to burn incense. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Is it 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12? You okay? Let me correct that. I'm coming. But let's read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 28. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 28. I've missed the scripture. I'll check. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my what? Priest. Are you following? To offer upon my altar to burn what? Incense, and to wear an ephod before me. That was God speaking. So that one of the key duty of a priest is to what? Burn incense. Luke chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Let's watch. The intertestamental regime. Luke chapter 1, verse 9. They're reading all to the verse 11. Now watch. It says, according to what? Custom. Listen. So now it has been practiced to the point that night has come out. Customary. That's how we call the customary marriage. It is something that has been done over years. Now it is now we are accustomed to it. So according to custom of the priest's office. Do you understand what we call an office? So now it is in his capacity of operation. What do they do? His lot was to what? Burn. When he went into the temple of the Lord. So anytime the priest goes into the temple of the Lord, by custom, he must what? Burn incense. Don't forget what we read in the book of Exodus chapter 30. What was the duty of Aaron? To what? Burn incense. Okay. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of what? The incense. So it means that before prayer can be offered, watch you. Before prayer can be offered, incense must begin to burn. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel. Where did the angel appear? When the altar and the incense were out burning, spirits came down. So anytime a priest is performing his duty in his office, spirits respond. Burning of incense was a daily routine that God instructed Levitical priests to do always. Even the Levitical priests instructed them to do always. We have already read it. Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. The burning of incense was so important that God used it to justify who was qualified for high priesthood to come near unto him. Let's read an instance in Numbers chapter 16, verse 1 to 7. Follow me. The duty of priesthood. Burning of what? Incense. And put fire therein, and put incense there before the Lord tomorrow. Let's start from verse 6. That's it from verse 7. No, verse 1. 16, verse 1. Read quickly. Follow me. There was a day that, do you know that the Levi tribe or Levi gave birth to three sons, okay? Out of those three sons, it was the grandfather of Aaron that was chosen. Let's read. Now, Korah, the son of what? Izhar, the son of what? The Kohath. So he had a Kohathite tribe, which was also the Levite. They were not the high priest. The high priest was the Aaron's generation. the son of who? Levi. And Datan and Abiram, the son of what? Eliab. And On, the son of what? Pelead, sons of what? Reuben, took men. Continue. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in their congregation, men of what? Renowned. Verse 3. Quick. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon yourself, seeing all the congregation are what? Holy. They are right. All the congregation were holy, set apart. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourself above the congregation of the Lord. One corner we anointed. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Continue. Don't let your pastor fall on his face. You are finished. And when he spake unto Korah and unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto what? Him. Watch. Burning of incense. Even him whom he had chosen will be caused to come near unto him. Now, how will God choose who can come near him? What is the criteria? Watch. This do, take your heart, senses. Korah and all his company, verse 7. And put fire therein, and put what? Incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the Lord, the man whom the Lord doeth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of what? Levi. So when God wanted to show who is the high priest who deserved to come near him, it was the burning of incense. You can read the rest of the story. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 8 to 10. Before you go there, hold on. Have you changed? Okay. Let's read it. We'll come back to the number 16. And of Levi he said, listen on, let thy Tumim and not Urim be with thy holy one, whom thou didst prove at Massa. This was the blessing of what? Moses upon the children of what? Israel. And with whom thou didst strive at what? Waters of what? Meribah. Let's continue. Verse 9. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. That they shall not Jacob. He's talking about Levi. These are what? Together, let's read, huh? They shall teach Jacob thy what? Judgment. So you saw when there was no teacher, there was issue. Because there was no priest. And Israel thy what? Thy law. They shall put what? Incense before what? Thee. And whole burnt sacrifice upon thy heart. That was the blessing Moses pronounced upon the people of what? Levi. Now, you find out that in the book of Numbers chapter 16, the place you read, verse 40. If you read the whole book of Numbers 16, that is when God let a plague strike them. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, listen up, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. When they set on the fire, do you know what happened? God took the fire and bent down Korah and his company, opened the floor and buried the ones who were following him. But the censer that Aaron was carrying didn't do anything to him. And God said, anybody who is not a priest is a stranger to come near me. And how will God prove it? When you burn an incense. Incense. I'm still talking about Levitical priests. How incense was very important. Now, how was the Melchizedekal priest incense interpreted to them? Let's read. The book of Psalm 141, verse 2. I'm wrapping up. Follow. So we have spoken about priesthood. Is that not it? We have spoken about the duty of priesthood. That is what? Burn what? Incense. And I spoke about the Levitical hot priest. They do the physical hot incense. What about the Melchizedekal priest? Let's read. Let, this is a priest called David. What is it? Let my prayer be set forth before thee as. Church, together as what? Church, together as what? So the Melchizedek priest's incense is what? Prayer. So for the priest after the order of Melchizedek can sustain priesthood, one of the things that is notable about them is what?
Prayer.
So you cannot call yourself a royal priesthood when you are not performing your duty as what?
A priest.
He said, let my prayer be as incense. Means that prayer was equally, this is David, a man who practiced that priesthood in the Old Testament. So living the life of priesthood is a life that requires that every morning, habitual praying person, you have to burn incense. So the mystery that Jesus was telling that men ought to pray and not to faint was that as a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, it is a duty upon you that every morning, every time, you ought to what? Are you with me now? You ought to what? And you could see what priests who were able to attend to their priesthood were able to do. When the husband of Elizabeth, what is his name? Some people are just, his name is Zachariah, was performing the custom as a priest in his office. The Bible said an angel of the Lord came to him. He was burning incense. And that incense brought an angel. It means that when the priest, after the order of Melchizedek, goes to his place of office, what is expected of him is to what? Be a person who burns incense. Prayer. I pray for you. You see, if you are here and you don't like prayer, what you are saying is that, first of all, you don't know who you are. Secondly, you are refusing to be who you are. And thirdly, you don't deserve to be who you are. Because as a priest, it is required that every morning. So in the teachings of Paul, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, he said, pray always. It was this revelation that Peter had in the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 4. And he said what? Give me Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Peter said, by the calling upon me as a high priest, whom I have been called to lead the church, I shall give myself continually to prayer. Not because I am doing it to please anybody. Not because I enjoy doing what I'm doing. Not because it is something that is entertaining. Yes, it is not easy. So the Bible says, in the hour of prayer, they go to pray. But Peter knew that as priests, to be able to sustain priesthood, it is required that they give themselves continually to prayer. The Bible said these people prayed to a point that the ground that they stood was shaken. The Bible said these people prayed to the extent that, in fact, they were able to sustain their priesthood, said that their shadow, see, the Spirit of God took over them to the point that even unknowingly, their shadow was able to heal the sick. Priesthood. If you don't live the life of priesthood, then you are not yet serious with your Christian life. And one of the requirements of priesthood is that men ought to pray. I pray for you. You see, when you live here, you give yourself to prayer. Somebody, you see, that is why the fetish priest does not leave his covenant. He have given himself to point of libation. When they are eating, as I say, Jimmy. When they are drinking water, as I say, you are here. A priest has given himself to prayer. But you, as another priest, have decided not to give yourself to prayer. There are colleagues of you who are calling saints, who are engaged in all kinds of things, and they have given themselves to burning of incense, activating realms. But there are priests who, even the Bible, that is who they are. They don't know who they are. So they, when you call them for prayer, they think that. But I pray for you that from today your mentality will change. That you begin to live a life of priesthood. And as the Bible was able to work through Noah, Kuleva San Nakaya. You see, your family is counting on you. See, the extent to which God can move in the next generation is dependent on what you are doing now. I thank God for the life of my late father and for his 45 years of faithfulness in ministry. I grew up seeing a man who every day at 4 a.m. wake up to pray. I am a product of a priest who has sustained priesthood. Don't compare yourself to me. I had a father who has served for 45 years praying every day. I'm just living on a priesthood anointing. You know why? The people of Israel were not people you should play with. Because their grandfather Abraham, the first thing he did was to build an altar. They pitched tents, they built altars. Isaac, he pitched a tent, he built an altar. Jacob, he pitched a tent, he built an altar. They understood priesthood and they sustained priesthood. So their children were beneficiaries of it. The Bible said that even Levite paid tithe at the loins of Abraham. That was an act of priesthood. You are here. Do you know what you are doing? We'll tell how far your children will go. Some of you are victims of your father's negligence and mother's negligence to attend to priesthood. But I pray for you. You will not make that mistake. I pray for you not make that mistake. I see a generation of priests rising who understand their place of work. That it is required of the priest that every morning he shall burn incense. And David said, let my prayer be like incense before you in the morning. I declare in the name of Jesus that as we live here, we will understand the place of priesthood. Peter said that it is not good that we will give ourselves to administration. But however, our lives shall be defined that people who gave themselves unto prayer. I declare in the name of Jesus. I said this year God will teach us to pray. God will teach us to pray. That whenever we gather and we lift up our voice, we will begin to sustain priesthood. We will begin to sustain priesthood. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will not be lazy in prayer. Now you say to yourself, men ought to pray. Because when there are no priests, there is no true God. For many seasons, the people of Israel suffered in the hands of a God who was not true. Because there was no priest. The country has become lawless. People are doing what they feel like doing because priests are not more doing their job. But I pray that this generation we will rise up and say that every morning we will burn our incense. The Bible says, have I not called Samuel that he will walk the effort and burn an incense before me? I know God is calling men and women who wear the effort of a priesthood and burn an incense before him, that all our prayer will rise up. Ghana is counting on you. You better start living like a priest. You can't say that you are a royal priesthood. You know who you are. You don't know who you are. If indeed you know who you are, when you sing that song of snatch, that you know who you are, I expect to see a priest who is able to sustain priesthood, creating a portal and establishing an altar. Because of your presence, your roommates will find it difficult to even play a secular song. Because of your presence, your roommate will begin to ask questions about God. Because there is a priest among them. Mandilo Moshata. It's an indictment on my name. That I'll go to a place and do not know that God is there. No, it can't be happen. It can't happen. It can't happen. Because I live a life of priesthood. It's an indictment on my claim as a priest, as a royal priesthood. When I go to a place and evil prevails, I pray for you. Wherever you find yourself, the lecture hall, your place of work, in your family, they will recognize that there is a priest. They will recognize that there is a priest. I pray for you that the anointing of priesthood, there were three people that God anointed in the Bible. The priest, the king, and the prophet. Let the oil of the priesthood fall on you. I pray for the spirit of supplication. Teach us to pray, Lord, like the priests do in their office, that they burn incense as their customary. Teach us to pray, Lord. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that the prayers of the saints and incense was added to it. As you lift up your voice and you pray today, let it be a sweet smell savor that will pierce through the heart of God, that God will establish a covenant with you and your your generation. I pray for a generation who will rise up to priesthood. You can't call yourself a royal priesthood, and we cannot see the practice of priesthood. Shandi makompala diasata, kola sani no mosete, arada baba baba bo, ishani na na makapa, asono lo makosata, ashini ni akumpe, ora sani akono sata, alakabrani na mama mama mosaya. Where are the priests of the Lord? Ascended. The Bible said, when Joshua was about to cross onto the land of Canaan, the priests carried the ephod. They carried it on their shoulders. And as they step in Jordan, Jordan stopped flowing. You are going to be that priest who will make the breakthrough for them in the name of Jesus. As you step into your office of priesthood, you will make way. Rebele moko sete. Radini ni andapa. Korono momo seta. Adenene ni asaya. God is raising a priest. God is raising a priest. God is raising priests. I say priests and priestess. Adilia suta. Ilemeno seyaka. Isondo do do do. Teach us to pray, Lord. Because we are royal priesthood. And we need to sustain our priesthood. We got to burn incense. We got to burn incense. We got to burn incense. Let my prayer rise to you like the incense. We got to burn incense. Sadilo Moshanda. Koronia Sendeke. How can we draw near to you if we are not men of prayer? So he said, Abraham is my friend, and he will pray for you because he was a man of prayer. Yes. It's rising. Yana lia sumpa lia kaya. Korodo nini asunta kaya. We are sent as priests and descend as kings. Somebody ascend this morning. Oh, Rabiano Mosia. Ascend. Kaladia Sabataya. Ascend. Nemomoshande. Koram Nabababa. Oh, ascend. Aramendo. Aramando. No. Ascend. Koram ne. Adera ba. Kodo. Ascend. Kasani asaya. Adora babasaka. Ikadina na mama. Ascend. When God smelled the sweet savor of the offering, of the burning of Noah, a covenant was strike. Ascending prayer. In Panamo. Ascend. Men ought to pray. because it's a life of priesthood. Men ought to pray. Men ought to pray. The mysteries that we pray to sustain priesthood. Shalebrasaya. Hasulekataya. Whilst you're on your feet. Whilst you're on your feet. I want you to wrap up. Men always ought to pray. Else priesthood will not be provided for God's agenda. Spirits can do nothing until they are priests. So in the book of Ezekiel, God said, I sought for a man that he will stand in the gap, that these people will not be destroyed. But I found that, not that they were not human beings, so he was looking for a priest. Somebody who have the capacity to create a portal and the ability to establish an altar. We will do good for our family. We will do good for Ghana. Because we are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen one. We are a kingdom of priests. And we will burn our incense. We will burn our incense. So in the teachings of Paul, give me 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 again. And I want to conclude. In Paul's exhortation to teach a pastor, the first elementary knowledge that he has to pass on to his church, he said that first of all, prayers. The first thing that he taught the pastor, the young Timothy pastor, to establish in his church that he should raise priests. So he said, first of all, prayers. Intercession. Supplication. Thanksgiving. He said, this is acceptable. Why is it acceptable? Because it is this by way God can attend to the things of heaven. That he provided the places to which this priesthood will affect. Do you know that it is you who can affect the decisions of Nanando? Read verse 2. Read verse 2. He said, for kings and for all that are in authority. When our presidents and leaders are messing up, it's a pure sign that priesthood is no more working. Because when we take up our priesthood, they will behave. They will behave. Because when we make prayers for them, they will live according. See, when we pray, God will come and ruin the affairs of men. Do you know why? Nebuchadnezzar was messing up all the time. But God never descended on him until Daniel came there. The moment Daniel was in that territory, in that provenance, a priest was there. And that day the priest told him that today you know that God rules in the affairs of men. Because there's an altar here and a portal created. And because we are here as altar of God and we have created a portal, God will descend in this matter. So the Bible said, for they that know their God, they shall be strong. And they will do exploits. I pray for you. The Bible said, one priesthood is sustained, we shall live a quiet and a peaceable life. Do you want a peaceful life? Do you want a quiet life? Practice priesthood. That witch in your family, when you take up your priesthood position, they'll be quiet. That is why when things are happening, we pray. Do you know why? Because when priests are in their place of position, there is law. The day that Israel had a teaching priest, there was order and law. And the true God showed up. Today I pray for you. It is in our natural nature as Christians to be prayerful because we are priests. If you can't do that, you have no identity. Right now, the anointing is coming on you as priest. The anointing is coming on you as a priest. The anointing is coming on you so strong as a priest. And as you walk out of this place today, God will raise you as the priest of the Most High. As God separated Aaron from the other people and said, by these people to burn incense before me, you burn an incense before the Lord. I said, go back to your family, to your place of work. It's a charge I'm giving you. This is why Jesus said we ought to pray, because we are the ones who can create peace in the community. Today I want us to pray this prayer. I want to pray for Boku. We want to pray for Sampa. I want to cry and say that, Father, as priests, whatever violence that has been instigated, we create a portal that heaven will descend and that peace will reign. We pray and we connect to the prayers of the saints of Boko and the prayers of the saints at Sampa and any other community in Ghana here. That conflict has risen itself, and we say, peace, let there be peace. The other day, there was a priest in a boat with the disciples. The Bible said the storm rose up, and the storm was great. But they going to this priest. The priest, the Bible says, he's the high priest, sitting at the right hand side of God now, interceding for us. The Bible said this high priest spoke, and his name was Jesus. And he said, peace be still. And there was peace. We are praying, but God, let there be peace. Sampa, let there be peace. Any community in God, we command peace. We command peace.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.